Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joined today by one of my favorite people in the world, Vasilios Priskos. Vasilios is the founder of Internet Properties, which is a commercial real estate brokerage firm in downtown Salt Lake City. Vasilios also owns many buildings in downtown Salt Lake City and has helped to develop some of the city's signature projects, some of the key projects that we have in our community, soon to be developing many more. Vasilios, thank you for joining us today by phone.
Thanks for having me, Jason. I appreciate it.
You are somebody that I like to talk to when I want to know what's going on in the downtown area, because nobody has their finger on the pulse like Vasilios Priskos. And I want to give a little, it's true. I want to give a little context for that. You actually grew up downtown. You immigrated to this community, to Salt Lake City, when you were six from Greece. And your family had an eating establishment, the Royal Eatery. Was that always what it was called? Was it always the Royal Eatery on the corner of 400 South and Main?
Yeah, it was the Royal Burger, then we changed it to the Royal Eatery, but now it's the Apollo Burger. After 35 years, my brother decided to merge it with the Apollo Burger chain, a different Greek family, but so it's continuing on as the Apollo Burger and still there today. So we've been downtown for over 35 years now, and it's been great to be part of it, but I did grow up in downtown Salt Lake, and I think that's where my love of downtown has emerged from, just from being down there my whole adult life.
And your offices now are just down the street from that. You office just in between State Street and Main Street on 400 South.
Of course, when you have a Greek family, you buy the house next door, and when you have a Greek family in the restaurant business, of course you have the office next door, and so that's just in tradition.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. As I said, I feel like I know a lot about downtown, but I know maybe 10% of what you know about downtown. You know who owns the buildings, you know who owns the parcels, you know what their plans are for them, you know what their expected timeline is like and what the challenges are and what they're moving forward with. So we have a lot of stuff to get to today. I want to start out just reviewing for people a little bit about what Internet Properties is, what you do, and then I want to highlight some of the big projects you guys have been involved with. So you are a commercial real estate broker, but you're also a developer. Is that right?
Correct. So I started Internet Properties, Jason, in 1994, and we were a brokerage, so we help people buy and sell real estate. We help people lease it. We both on the tenant side and the landlord side. And then it kind of morphed from there. You know, bought my first building. Our offices are located on 4 South between Main and State, and just kept investing in downtown. And the company started to grow, and we focused primarily on downtown real estate. And continue to grow throughout the Salt Lake Valley, but from there we started finding that we'd have to redevelop our properties, and so we got into a mode of development, and have developed properties throughout the years, and the most notable thus far, as far as downtown is concerned, is the Salt Lake Tribune building, which we purchased without having a purpose for the building. We just most of the buildings that I own downtown are historic buildings, or I should say older buildings. And the Tribune was always an interesting building, but didn't have a use in mind. And it was a very, very difficult building to redevelop. You know, luckily for us, Newmont came along, Newmont College, and we were able to convert an old building that was historically used for retail and office into a building that is now a college with residential above. And it was just a great transformation of not only the real estate, but for downtown, in introducing 400 18-year-old to 24-year-old students that have really breathed a little new life into that part of town. And even Linda Wardell from City Creek noticed when they opened, and noticed the lights on down the street, and that there were kids coming in and out, and we're just very proud of that development. But in doing so, in our development, we found that many people, especially nonprofits, had a difficult time developing. You know, they've never hired contractors or architects, raise the money to, well, they're good at raising the money, but then once they have the money and how to build their building. So we've helped companies or nonprofits like the YWCA, the Ronald McDonald House, ArtSpace, and many, many others with their facilities and helping them build their facilities. So we have a division called Construction Management that helps third parties contract with and build their facilities, and that's something we're very proud of, especially the part that's the nonprofit part, because it's they're the folks that, you know, probably have the least amount of experience in developing properties, because they probably only do it once in their existence, and so very proud of that. So now we do construction management, brokerage, and it's a great little company, still owned by myself, and they're very proud to be part of the Salt Lake community.
Well, you guys, I know you guys were very instrumental in the development, and it's just slightly outside of downtown, in Volunteers of America's new Homeless Youth Resource Center, which is, I think, really one of the most beautiful buildings in that Central 9th neighborhood. It's on 9th, South, and 4th West. But that's one of many, many things that you've been involved with since I've known you over the past 8 years, that has really helped to change our community and make it a better place for everybody.
You know, I'm really glad you, and I'm sorry I omitted that we have many companies or nonprofits that we've helped, and that one was a special one. We have some property along State Street, so VOA was one of our neighbors, and
right.
So we've had some experience with them already. I'm on the ArtSpace board. We were the seller of the property. I went to public hearings regarding the property and its use, and it's very appropriate to talk about it today with the resource centers. One of the resource centers is going to be on 7th South and State, next to the Deseret Industries, right next to where VOA used to be. And we're not opposing it. We own property next door. We're happy to be next to it. There is a place in our community, there has to be a place in our community for these uses. You know, up till the recent years, Jason, as you and I both know, the homeless shelter where it is right now has just been a great neighbor to many, many people. And it hasn't been but for the last, you know, called 4, 5, 6 years maybe that it has really ballooned to be an issue, specifically the criminal element.
Yeah.
And it's really given a black eye to the homeless shelter and to that entire neighborhood. And it's, you know, it's grown and grown and grown and fine to the point where it's become an issue. And seeing these resource centers, you know, who knows if it's the right or wrong way to do things, but I do know that the VOA has done it the right way. The building is beautiful. And I do think when you go into a beautiful building, your state of mind is a little different than going somewhere and standing out in a line outside. And so I think these people deserve nice architecture. They deserve nice, clean buildings. And they'll be more welcome in buildings like that and respect the property and the area around those facilities. And so I think, you know, we own the apartments next door to the VOA, the ArtSpace does. And to put a resource center right next to you and feel good about it was a big move. And thus far, we're very happy. We think it's a great use. I think 7th South and State and the other location on 3rd West are great. It's unfortunate to hear some of the pushback from Simpson, but I absolutely understand their issues. You know, I'd hate to have one right next to me where I live, but at the same time, the closer you live to an urban area, the more likelihood you'll have uses like that because, you know, that's where all your resources are for the homeless. And but I'm happy the direction it's taken. And I hope the county finds another good location because this is a countywide and, you know, really a statewide issue. And so I'm really happy the action that Speaker Hughes has taken and others have taken and our county mayor to take a stab at this because this has been happening a long time. And so we'll see what happens. The VOA was a great experience for us. We were so happy to be involved with it. And we're looking forward to the other resource centers. We're happy something's being done.
Well, and I want to talk about kind of the other side of the coin. One of the challenges that I think has really led to the rise of a bigger homeless population has been a lack of affordable housing. You are a landlord that offers a lot of affordable housing. You know, as somebody who provides that service, who has stepped up, what advice would you have as the city and the county are grappling with this? What could they do to create more affordable housing? And maybe more importantly, how do we make sure that we keep the affordable housing that we have now so that it doesn't go away and we're able to continue to provide this service? What role does the public sector have in helping to encourage landlords to continue to provide the kind of housing that you've provided for many, many years?
So, I mean, that's a great question. I think you answered your own question.
I do that a lot on this show. Yeah, I have strong opinions.
I love it. But, you know, we do have the disappointing thing for me, Jason, is we do have affordable housing, and we keep concentrating on new housing. Well, new housing, new affordable housing is expensive. A piece of plywood in the 2x4 costs just as much for a $3,000 apartment as it does for a $300 apartment.
Right.
And so the only way you could get it cheaper is by subsidizing. And the question that I have for our community leaders is, why are we building brand new housing for affordable housing when we have so much affordable stock and we have a movement from older properties to newer properties as people grow and not only their income or different areas? And so many people, let's say, graduate from these, you know, older housing units that we have in town, and they go to the newer. And so why not go back to the folks that have this older housing stock and give them a carrot? Say, look, if you fix your rents, or if you do this, or if you continue, because they're offering affordable housing,
right.
They're not asking for anything.
Right.
I like the new grand that we own right now in 4 South of Main. We have 80 units up there that these people are a step away from homelessness. And so why not offer a property like that an incentive to continue to do it? Because what happens, the property taxes go up, you have to put new roofs and chillers and boilers, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But when you get an increase, let's say from Section 8 or some of these people that help, or the government that helps subsidize some of this, the voucher program, the rents don't stay commensurate with the market.
Right.
And so at least people with, like me, with a choice of, do I keep it affordable, or do I just take it to regular housing and help pay for these things? Because I can't continue to subsidize affordable housing. It's not fair to me on that property, and not fair to a lot of property owners when they're willing, with a little assistance, to do it, to keep it affordable if they had some assistance. And so I think the money would be better spent, and that should be the first tranche. How do we keep the affordable housing that we have? And affordable housing doesn't need to be marked as affordable housing. Affordable housing could be because of the type of properties, its location. It's by default affordable because it's less expensive to rent because of its conditions. But it's still great housing, and it's probably better located than the newer stock, because the newer stock, it's hard to find land downtown.
Yeah.
And so the newer stock is being built further and further away from downtown because of the land cost. In these older units, we have some great stock of older housing in our city. We should take advantage of that, of its location, and help subsidize that housing, and those dollars would go way further. So now you're talking maybe 20,000 a unit in subsidy rather than 100,000 a unit in subsidy. And so, you know, you could preserve so much more low-income housing. And I think that needs to be the first step, is to solidify our base and then build upon it when and if we need more. But my feeling is a lot of this stuff is being gentrified, and we'll go in there and we'll lose that ability to have that low-income housing, because it's going to move on and revert to market rates with the renovation, which many of these units are doing. They're selling at high prices right now because of our vacancy rates, and the only way they can get returns is by renovating and increasing the rents.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Vasilios Priskos. Vasilios is the founder and principal partner with Internet Properties. He has been a downtown investor and entrepreneurial giant for many years. We're talking about urban trends in downtown, about the direction our downtown is headed, and we will be right back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Joining me today is one of my favorite people in the world, and also someone who understands downtown even better than I do. Vasilios Priskos. Vasilios is the founder and principal broker at Internet Properties, a commercial real estate brokerage firm and construction management company. Vasilios also owns, I don't know, dozens of buildings downtown. Vasilios, is that fair?
Hundreds.
Okay, maybe hundreds. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Convention Headquarters Hotel, because that is a subject we've discussed a lot on this show, something that you have been very, very involved with from the beginning in advocating for the need for it, in trying to create this for our downtown area. Can you give us an update on it from your perspective as someone who's working on the land acquisition and on the development part of this project?
Absolutely, Jason. We've wanted a convention hotel back since the mid to late 90s, and probably even before. And in doing so, I was representing some property along First South in West Temple, where another family in Salt Lake owned a lot of the real estate. They were trying to put that corner together for Marriott Hotels. It was back when Marriott, you know, actually owned their hotels.
Right.
And there were some issues and a couple holdouts on the property, and it didn't work out. But the convention hotel has been an item for downtown for quite some time. It's not brand new. And in those conversations, I ran into a gentleman named Stan Castleton, who had built the Anaheim Hilton. He was very into the hotel business, has Utah roots. And I remember speaking to him about the hotel and what he felt needed to be done to have a convention hotel in Salt Lake. So that, you know, fast forward 20 plus years, and it's come around again, or even more than 20 years. And so I just want to let your listeners know that this is not a new subject matter. We have a fantastic convention center, and we lose out to conventions all the time because we don't have a nice large convention hotel that it could accommodate many people. Right now, when outdoor retailers come, they have to, they're spread out amongst hotels from down in Utah County to Ogden and beyond, and so it's very difficult to get them in a central location. And so the issue with the convention hotel and the subsidy, it is difficult. The reason it needs to be subsidized is that the convention center needs to be able to book out large blocks of room. And a hotel makes more money by selling a single room or at a time or smaller blocks. But when you block out, let's say 600 of the 850 rooms, that and you could cancel them a year out or 6 months out, that puts the hotel at a disadvantage. And the hotel does need to be subsidized for that and for some other things. And so I'm not against the subsidies. The subsidy that's been proposed by the legislature, which has passed, is post-performance, which means that the hotel is only going to get back the money that it generates. And so without the hotel, the money wouldn't be there. And so there's no taxpayer money used. You could argue that it's just being transferred from one hotel to another, but the hope at the end of the day is that this grows the market and we have more conventions. I think last year Scott Beck was from the Convention and Visitors Bureau told us that there are over 20 or 30, maybe Jason, of conventions that we missed out on because we didn't have a convention hotel. And so with the news of the outdoor retailers, although disappointing, although we love them, they help our restaurants, they help so many people downtown. They're a great group of people. For the most part, and we love to have them, but this hotel isn't being built for them. Even though we knew it was needed for them to continue, we'll have other outdoor retailer type conventions, and the convention hotel will still be needed. I still hold out hope that calmer heads will prevail, because I do think we're the best place in the nation to host outdoor retailers, and they still have another couple of years here, and I know scheduling is an issue because you do have to schedule for so much time in the future to be able to book these things. So anyway, going back to the hotel, Jason, sorry to be so long-winded about this, but it's come down, the legislation has passed, it's gone to the county, to the stakeholders, GOED, EDCU, the county, the city, and they've chosen developer who happens to be Stan Castleton with DDRM. There are three sites, I believe, that are still being looked at, two on the convention center site itself, and one is the location of First South and Witch Temple, which I own a majority of now. And so we're hoping, you know, we think we have the best site. We think the best site is, you know, across from City Creek and across from the convention center and not on the convention center. But if it goes on the convention center, I'm fine with it. I'm happy. I'm more about the hotel than I am it being on my site. If it does go there, I'll be second in line to build a maybe a smaller 300 to 500-room hotel. But without the convention center, it would be impossible for us to build a 300 to 500-room hotel because we wouldn't have the demand. And so we need that convention center. And just like in other markets where it's being built, where convention centers are being, convention hotels are being built, there are others that follow market rate deals that have come behind them. And so we have seen it in Los Angeles, Houston, Arizona, and it just continues. And it's a good model. And we need to get more tourists here. Tourists is a nice, clean industry for our state, and it brings a lot of dollars to our state. And we shouldn't take our eye off the ball. So I'm all for the convention hotel. I'm all for it, of course, being on my site. If it doesn't go on my site, I am 100% in support of the convention hotel and what our community leaders are whichever location they choose. And I just think it's important to know that this isn't just an idea that has just been recent, and it's been part of I think our last Jason too Downtown Rising plans, and I do see it happening, and I think we'll hear some news, you know, hopefully in April.
Excellent, Vasilius. We could talk for hours, and I hope you'll be back. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the ability to chat with you about a couple of these items. We're out of time, but I do want to just give you 20 seconds to just say, what do you think about the future of downtown? What would you like to see as the future for our community?
Well, yeah, it's a great item to give me 20 seconds on, Jason, but I've been the big, I along your side have been one of the biggest cheerleaders of downtown. I was buying buildings when people were leaving downtown and prior to the Olympics, and knowing downtown is special. I've known that since the early 80s. And it hasn't changed. And so to me, the future is just tomorrow is the future and every day thereafter. Downtown has changed so much, and I'm so happy to go down there on weekends and see the nightlife and everything else that has happened. Everybody comes to me and tells me how much downtown has changed. And so when we try to look 5, 10, 15 years down the road, that's great. But I'm telling you, every day, every week, something is changing downtown, and it's all in a positive fashion. What the LDS Church has done, what the city has done. Our arts are unbelievable. We just have such a magnificent city. And, you know, with a couple of liquor law adjustments, I think it could even be a better city. But so, Jason, I think the future is just so, so bright for downtown. We're so behind other cities where we are as far as development. You know, we need more office space. We've already run out of high-rise office space. We need this hotel. There's just so many good things happening downtown. We should all be proud of it and just continue to watch, you know, the transformation of our downtown, because it's always transforming. So rather, you know, again, our future is tomorrow and the next day more than 100 years down the road, but we're going in a great direction.
Excellent. Vas, thanks so much. Appreciate you, and thanks for everything you're doing.
Thanks for that, Jason.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.